Welcome everyone to episode 11 of the Skype show. On today's show I have Brian Ricks and Tom Arbuthnot, both Office Services and Services MVPs, and we're going to be talking a bit around the cloud, what it means for the future, and Cloud Connector Edition, and hope you enjoy it. So welcome Brian, welcome to the Skype show, how are you today?
Great, thank you Mark, doing very, very well.
Yeah, you busy?
I'm busy, yeah. I mean, today it is 10 in the morning right now. So job day's just starting, week's been busy. Yeah, doing well.
Yeah, I'm back on UK time now, so it's like 5 o'clock at night, but there we are.
At least you've adjusted by now, right? Everything's back to normal from travel.
Yeah, it took me a few days, but we're okay now. So I'm not waking up at silly o'clock.
Sure.
But there we are. So we're here to talk about Cloud Connect Edition. And so it's been on the show before, so anybody who's watched previously will have an idea of what it is. Obviously, Microsoft have their own press releases and what have you. So I'm not going to go through the basics of everything, but what I really want to get into is how Cloud Connect Edition can help businesses move to the cloud, move their voice platform to the cloud. So does it really help them and help them do that?
So, you know, it depends, and that was an unfortunate answer, but there are definitely values for some businesses to look at and consider CCE, along with other solutions that Microsoft has that are very similar from a concept perspective. So we have the option of using CCE to get that footprint in where PSTN is not localized. And we don't want to have our own hardware that we've stood up and configured, you know, in a hybrid type scenario. So can it? Sure. It has to fit the right customer profile. So I would not count it out. No. But yes, in a short answer, yes, it can.
Yeah. No worries. I mean, obviously Microsoft is saying that CCE solves most of the regulatory compliance issues that they face in countries such as like India and Dubai and what have you. And does it really cater for all the scenarios, or is it just a subset?
But you know, it depends. Again, everything comes back to depending on who and what we're interacting with and how we've configured our network. So we do have the potential, if we are keeping all of our users on-prem and we're using a copper-based PSTN breakout for our localized network connectivity for our PSTN, then in theory, as long as nobody travels and uses Skype locally, sure, then that works. But it doesn't fix everything. It's more of it gets around the PBX requirements to be delivered locally, and Microsoft doesn't have the opportunity to deliver those locally currently because they're not an approved partner / telco in that country. So, but it doesn't solve all of the intricacies, no, but it does kind of overcome that hurdle of not being a carrier in country that Microsoft isn't everywhere.
Yeah, sure. And with CCE, obviously, we can build our own box, mm-hmm. or we can go to the likes of AudioCodes and Sonos and buy an integrated solution. So why would you choose to buy an integrated solution as opposed to building your own?
So they're probably a few major reasons. One being, let's say we have a location that has no real technical know-how or ease and or the ability for us to easily ship into country. Being and working with a vendor such as a Sonos or an AudioCodes and their ability to drop ship and get things into country and more or less set up, right, then the box is more or less built. It's not completely, but it allows us to have remote management and get into it and set things up. It eases the installation process and the travel need process so that we can technically drop ship it, get somebody to plug it in, put in some cables after we work with them on the phone, hours and hours of trying to plug in here kind of thing. Then we can remotely take everything over. And so that adds a lot of value for mass deployments to a lot of small locations that have no true IT skills on site. Building our own, it's up to us to procure the hardware, procure the correct standards, manage hardware patches, software patches, all the things that come around and with that piece of hardware that is unique. And so we need to watch those type of things. And you know, as from a Dell perspective, you could buy a batch of Dell servers today And that same model, 6 months from now that they're in our rollout plan, could potentially have different hardware, and it's just more to manage. Whereas when you're working with a box vendor, we're not going to have that type of solution issue. So it's really about the convenience more than anything else.
Yeah, so in terms of where you see CC being installed in the business, would you see that being more local to that small branch, or what advice would you give to customers who are thinking about dropping this into their data center, for instance, rather than branch?
Yeah, so you need to stop and start with what are we trying to achieve? What is the reason we want to do hybrid voice, and whether it be CCE hybrid or do a hybrid install and hybrid versus PSTN in the cloud, what is our long-term strategy and goal? Where are we going? And so the advice would be to try to determine what that strategy is and go from there. So a great example would be we have 10,000 people that are going to be in a particular office. If we're looking at a concurrency rate somewhere around 1,000 of those, all right, so we're not going to fit on one CCE box. We're now looking at multiples. Does it make sense? Could we scale bigger hybrid solution? Is it all peer-to-peer calls, or is it a lot of MCU connectivity, which would now be all up in the cloud versus being on-prem if we didn't? I mean, so right, there's so many things, and that's where from a consultancy perspective we'd look at what is it that we're trying to solve, what is the issue that we're trying to create a solution for, rather than trying to put this solution the whole square peg, round hole. We don't want to force it.
Yeah.
It's not a forcible solution, so.
Yeah, no, cool. In terms of the appliance itself, obviously Microsoft have referred to it as an appliance, but a lot of the customers on IT pros will look at the solution and go, well, it's just a hypervisor with four VMs on it. I should be able to manage it as a traditional hypervisor with virtual machines. So how do we change that perception?
Sure.
Because...
Yeah, so really that's... One, that's on Microsoft, I think. It's on them to come up with a solution that's a more closed solution and not as transparent under the covers what's actually happening. That said, there is the largest value Microsoft can add to a CC deployment is their remote support of the box. More or less, if you install their CCE device as dictated in program, dictator chiply put down.
Yeah.
This is how to install it and how we're going to implement it. If that's followed and you do not touch it, then Microsoft has the onus of it, and they are responsible for it, and that's where they give their 3/9 of uptime for that particular machine, so on and so forth. So from a managed service perspective, there's value there. If you're looking for can I get in and tinker with it, probably, but then that whole value is eliminated, and I would argue that's the largest value that the solution has, is that it's a managed service from Microsoft.
Yeah. Cool. And is there any benefit in deploying CCE as opposed to dropping in a standard edition with a single edge, for instance, on a one box solution type basis?
And again, so the supportability and the moving of that supportability to Microsoft versus being on you, there's trade-offs, definitely. There are functionalities and features that we get in hybrid voice that we don't get by leveraging CCE. Some of that may kind of gap close and get better and better and better, but as far as how things are going today, yeah, I would say maybe again, right? It's that unfortunate answer of it depends. It depends on what we're trying to accomplish and what we're looking for. You know, I had a client that recently looked at CCE as a win-win because they had some old hardware that had just come off running some other SQL servers and some other SharePoint boxes that were rolled out, and they met the requirements and the needs of the CCE. So there was no new cost, and so that was a cheaper way to get it into production. Whereas those that are having to buy net new, maybe it doesn't make sense because the minimum requirements are not minimum from a cost perspective, right? So
yeah, no, that's cool. And obviously, when we're going to start moving workload or traditional UC workloads that have been on-prem into the cloud, I mean, a business is going to have to revisit their network configuration. And how does that trade off against the benefits of the cloud?
Mm-hmm. So we see this a lot in extremely large customers and even into some small, medium business type customers where they have decided that they want to control their internet connectivity, right? They want to make sure that everything from the clients flows through their system, whether that be from a malware perspective, because they want to make sure things are coming in and out, or it could be because they want to see where the clients are going and they're controlling sites. From various vendors have various solutions, and it can be cost prohibitive to try to put one of these boxes, if we have a bunch of small sites, all at one location. It also can be cost prohibitive from if we're on an MPLS network and then we want to have a localized breakout for internet, that could be costly, and we're looking to minimize those costs by bringing all the internet back over the MPLS back to the site. So that's normal. I would say that's a very common design practice in a hub spoke type configuration that we've seen for decades now. And the question is, on those current breakouts, more than likely they have localized voice breakout because they had copper there, right? Or they had just normal, quote-unquote, normal voice. And so now we're looking at, do we want to have all of that network traffic, one, going over that WAN segment that we have in place, and two, what is the quality that we will get if it is a distance of great length and we're coming, let's say, from the APAC and we're coming all the way back to North America to go out our internet localized. Okay, so does it impact networking? Sure, it definitely will have an impact on the network. Does it mean we're going to redesign things? Again, depends. Maybe. It may make sense that, you know, if we're only at a 10% utilization anyway today and they're a little 10-people office, it may be okay. We'd have to test using the new network test tools and things of that nature to see, do we get the quality we're looking for? All that said, there are options with ExpressRoute to break out specifically only for the Microsoft voice traffic that we could look at. There's no one answer. That comes down to everything that's always been since the LCS days, OCS, Link, and now Skype is, every installation is an independent installation. We can't cookie cutter it. We need to look and see what is it that we're trying to do. So,
you can't put it in a box and ship it.
That's right. That's right.
So, in terms of high availability and what have you, obviously the back end was all taken care of with Microsoft and what have you. But how do we implement HA and DR in a CCE scenario, for instance?
Yeah, it's an interesting issue that we come up to, right? Because once we start moving things to the cloud, now our resiliency on our internet connectivity becomes important. That pipe needs to remain up because everything we have is remote. It's a different problem of HA and DR. So you're right. The back end is probably more resilient than you could ever afford to have resiliency. So that's done, but getting to the back end becomes a problem. And when we move voice on-premise using something like CCE or a hybrid voice split solution, we need to look at how do we maintain that HA. So in hybrid voice, we can build an HA box. We can do an enterprise forest, and we can make that happen. Don't forget that session border controllers need to be then in pairs. We need to think about multiple internet connections to get those out to whatever carrier we're going to. So there's that side of redundancy. And then from a DR perspective, in the true sense of DR, which I think a lot of people don't ever wrap their heads around, they want more of HA than they're talking about DR. But when we're talking DR, this whole site blows up. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And so that also means it can't be next door, because if you blew up, more than likely next door blew up as well, right? So we're talking about a remote location. We're talking about somewhere where these services sit, and that's possible. It's just, again, we have a CCE solution, and we have another one that's another CCE solution, and we have to deal with building out multiple scenarios and multiple boxes. That's all possible. Some fiddling on the back end once things blow up, but it's all possible.
Yeah. I mean, taking a traditional voice setup where you have all the dependencies within your own organization, so you're in control of the copper, you're in control of your WAN connectivity, and to move all your workloads to a cloud where you don't really have any control, and then rely on something like the internet, which again you have no control over. That conversation with the customers is always an interesting one from my perspective. I'm just interested to know what your perspective when you've had those similar conversations are.
Same thing. The general consensus is the cost benefit overrides the high availability, and so we look at. Yeah, we are giving. You definitely are giving up things by going to the cloud. There's no argument there. The bigger question is the benefit of what we get from the cloud and the general availability of our circuits and our ability to get to the cloud, does that outweigh other things? And you could argue there's some benefit to not having on-premise hardware and everything in the cloud as well, right? So your internet goes down, your ability to just switch on cellular on your devices and or go to Starbucks and use somebody else's Wi-Fi and have full functionality and connectivity is a benefit. You've actually spread out that availability higher. It's just that localized office-based HA is something that isn't as easy to obtain as it is when it's on-premise and all within your control. So it's just a discussion of what's important to you and what are you willing to take from a downside. And remember, there's always the option if you really don't want servers on-premise and you really want to use the cloud, but you really don't want to share stuff, there is dedicated cloud. I mean, whether it be a partner dedication or a Microsoft's dedicated Office 365, but it's going to cost you. So a lot of those cost benefits go away, right? So
yeah, that's it. I mean, when Microsoft released CCE, they said that it can connect to any legacy PBX system. But when we're deploying Skype for Business, we have a very defined supported list of session border controllers and other systems. So how is CCE any different to that?
Yeah, so it's different in that it itself is a potential layer. So more than likely, you're going to have a session border controller in play when we go to deploy CCE. And the value there is we mask at the session level all communications. And so now, depending on what session border control you get, connectivity becomes what do you want, right? Do we want to have FXO? That's our potential input. That's an option. Do we want to take that out and do a traditional ITSP and get that communication going? Or do we even have T1s, E1s, things of that nature? Those can all tie in, whether it be we're trunking between the PBX, whether we're doing a SIP communication between the PBX or any other configuration. The secret sauce is the session border controller. It is what fixes all of these issues. And that's really
in terms of in terms of in a migration scenario now, so I've got I've got a bunch of Avaya or Cisco Mitel telephony around and I want to move these users into the cloud and consume cloud PBX with CCE. Do we get any interoperability with the session border controller? I mean, how do we handle sort of calls between cloud and legacy?
Yeah, and the session border controller can be, again, that's us. So you think of it as a concept of whether it's copper that's connecting the two with the PBX and the session border controller, or it's a SIP trunk that you've created. Either way, it's a trunk that's coming into the session border controller, and then it becomes a voice router, right? It's going to determine this call from the session border controller goes to an on-prem user, it goes to the cloud, it goes and remains and comes out FXS, FXO, whatever the case may be. That's how we get that to work. And so it's not really a CCE solution because hybrid voice with on-premise is the same thing. It's the session border controller is what glues various technologies together and makes it seem like a single system when in fact we're really band-aiding and tying all kinds of various older technologies, sometimes newer technologies, all together to get that flexibility. So
yeah, cool. So if a customer's already deployed CCE and they're consuming it in the cloud, and let's say pick a country, Portugal, because I know they haven't got it right.
Okay.
So they consuming CCE and then Microsoft release in 6 months' time saying, hey, we're now doing PSTN calling in Portugal. What considerations does the customer need to think about when looking at getting rid of CCE and going Microsoft PSTN calling in the country?
So,
any considerations?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the biggest things that we talk about, even if PSTN calling was localized and capable to, in country, is what is the solutions that we're using today for voice and why are we using those solutions? So we may have massive telco contracts that exist that we just can't get out of and or don't want to get out of because they are lucrative to the business and the way that we do business. Those aren't going to the cloud if we go to PSTN cloud. So the only way to maintain them is to have a localized breakout. So whether that's hybrid voice or CC, conceptually from a architecture perspective, same idea, same concept, right? One is just pre-built, one is you manage and own. So that's probably the number one thing Microsoft leads with is do you have a monetary obligation that dictates you don't come to us? The second thing would be what we talked about previously. from a networking perspective, if I have localized breakout and I have a concurrency of 5,000 calls because I'm a massive location, do I really want that communication going back over the internet and back to Microsoft, because all calls would now go there versus just things that are hitting the MCUs? So there is a shift in network traffic that potentially will happen. And it's especially true if all of those calls today are copper-based, because there is no network impact per se at a one-to-one call. It's all just going straight over. So there's a lot to look at from an infrastructure perspective. Are we capable of handling the workloads? Typically, we are seeing, you know, some people that want to go to the cloud. We test the waters. We see how things are. And I think the end day, when we're all said and done, for this phase of life of the Microsoft technology, I would say hybrid is where majority of people will end up being, because it makes sense for some to have PSTN pure in the cloud, especially if they're remote anyway, right? And they're just calling directly in and out. Others will make more sense to have their campuses going through a localized breakout and controlling those costs and their control and functionality. So there is no, again, one solution for it all. So if it comes up, I'd say the nice thing is, you know, you have something to discuss. There's a discussion point to say, should we move to the cloud? Should we remain as is? What issues are we having now? What issues will we encounter if we do move to the cloud? Not so simple. It's not a box, right? You gotta look at each case. Yeah.
So in terms of cloud PBX, obviously Microsoft's been beating the drum now for, well, best part of 8 months, saying it's time to move all your telephony into the cloud. Let's take outside the contact center realms and all that type of situations. Do you think that cloud PBX is generally ready for the masses as of today?
I guess it would depend what you call the general masses. I would say no. Overall, there are some functionality pieces that are in general just missing, right? We're missing the ability to do true contact center communication. So those users today could not move up. And even in the near term, where Microsoft is introducing some new org AA and routing information, you know, all of that stuff that's in preview, that's not going to solve complex communications and the need to watch and look at various call queues and the manager stuff we do today. And will that ever get there by Microsoft? If history treats us right, no, because that doesn't exist today even on-prem, but third parties fill that gap, so I'm assuming there will be something at some point where some Azure-type solution or some hybrid-type solution comes into play. And again, hybrid fixes that. Keep your users on-prem that need to be in the call center applications and have an on-prem solution that solves that issue.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think Microsoft are going to address that. I think there was talk of the trusted application API for Office 365 or Skype for Business Online that's coming out. So I guess we will see the contact center in Azure in the very near future.
Right. The capabilities of it happening, what level and how well it works, I mean, right, to be determined, especially since that's third party, you know, who knows? So
that's it. Do you ever think that Microsoft will ever get to 100% country coverage for PBX?
There's no reason that they should be in certain countries where they don't have anybody selling it, so why would they, right? You know, Microsoft is an interesting beast, right? They focus on
numbers. Maybe I should rephrase it into all the countries that matter.
I would say their plan of record is yes. The biggest thing to remember as we complain that Microsoft isn't here, there, or anywhere is that they have no control over a lot of it. Just because they want to be there, it's up to the country to allow the regulatory roadblocks to move by so that they can come in and do it. And Microsoft, again, has to find whatever solution they're offering to be lucrative. If not, then what's the point? Right? It's a business. And that's where CCE and hybrid voice bend that gap, where even though you can't use their PSTN services, you could use an on-prem solution to tie yourself out and then go about it. So,
yeah, I mean, it is moving. The whole cloud PBX, the PSTN calling in the cloud story has been moving at a slower pace than I think even Microsoft anticipated. Mm-hmm. So there have been a few challenges, such as the regulations and taxes and what have you. So do you reckon that there will come a time where technology will overtake what they're trying to do now, and all this messaging that we're seeing now will just get thrown in the bin and something else will come out.
That's possible,
Unfortunately.
right? Maybe. I mean,
Yeah.
we can definitely see, in, well, even in my lifespan, that we've had at least three massive overchanges of technology and how things work.
Yeah.
Could that all change again? Possibly. Moore's Law is definitely in play. Things are happening way faster than things happened 15 years ago, 3 years ago, even last year. So things are rapidly changing. Is it possible that the technology or the concepts will outpace the solution they have today? Sure. Yeah, but I would say in general, Microsoft's done a fairly good job at making sure they're keeping up to date with where the trends are going and maintaining that. So while today's technology may be overridden, tomorrow they more than likely will have a solution that addresses tomorrow and they'll move on. So I wouldn't say it's something you wouldn't want to bet on from a technology perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now I would say innovation from a voice perspective, that's Microsoft is it is the front leader on that at the moment, at least from our perspective and how well we're seeing out there.
So Microsoft have obviously tried hybrid voice or cloud voice a couple of times in the past and it's failed at various degrees of severity. Is this iteration going to win, do you
Well,
think?
it works. So that's the number one
Yeah.
concept, right? So I remember going through master's class, they were just about to roll out pure cloud voice, and it was going to be a hybrid solution. And during the class, literally, while we were trying to get things working, they're like, yeah, I think we're scrapping that. That's not working. So from a quality perspective and from a from an overall end, there was no interest in releasing something that was going to be poorly received, which makes sense, right? Why put something out that kills yourself before you start? So the solution today does work. There's just a lot of caveats, and as long as you're willing to live within that those boundaries, then it works just fine. I think the next step for Microsoft is removing a lot of those boundaries and getting more parity between on-premise and in the cloud and hybrid. And once that parity gets closer and closer together, it just makes more and more sense and options. And that's what we all want, right? We want the options because not
Yeah,
everything
well,
fits.
that's it. Yeah, in terms of feature parity with on-prem, I mean, I attended a smaller Ignite session in Amsterdam a year or so ago now, and they were committed to. They said that feature parity will exist by 2017 in the cloud, but in the last 6 months, we haven't really seen any sort of new features come to the Skype for Business Online. We're still missing Org AA, which seems to be taking forever to come. So what do you reckon the challenges are, why it's being delayed? Are they concentrating on something else, do you think?
I don't think so. I think the concept is multi-tenant cloud is hard, and it's
Yeah.
one thing to deliver a solution in an organization and in a solution that you own that's on-premise and you have complete control over not only the network but over all of the endpoints and everything that goes through it. Once we go to cloud, there's just so many variables that are introduced that you just don't have control over. And I think Microsoft's doing the solution right by just not releasing stuff for the sake of releasing it or in a crippled state.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, they've missed, which is why they don't promise deadlines anymore. But even
Yeah.
their conceptual deadlines, they've missed a lot of deadlines within this year. Basically, all of this year was missed, right? So now it's moving
Yeah.
forward with, let's get the next pieces on. Will 2017, end of 2017, will they be feature parity? I don't see it, but hey, I'm not the magic wizard behind the scene either, so maybe, but I wouldn't put a dollar on it. So, well, maybe 50 cents.
50 cents. So in terms of future, obviously I've got Tom Arbuthnot on after you talk about Microsoft Teams. So we've got this whole new client, this whole new experience that we can leverage some Skype workloads in that. Where do you see the future of UC in the next 3 to 5?
Yeah, so ubiquity would be where I'd say things are going. I'm not sure the complete vision of Microsoft with Teams and how things are going in that direction. I know it addresses a need that exists. Where that convergence happens, I think will be important. Whereas it becomes just how things work naturally when you want to communicate and that whatever tool you're using works. So you see a lot of Microsoft from a high level, UC excluded, not necessarily excluded, but and not necessarily inclusively, but where Microsoft's focus has been, we don't care the endpoint you're on, we want you to use the solution. And that's extremely apparent in the mobile world, where Microsoft's focus on Android and iOS is just, let's just get the solutions working, you pick what you want to use. UC will get there. UC will get to the point where it becomes like a telephone. I don't care which model you have, what carrier you have in your house, you pick it up, you can dial a number, and it just works. Eventually, that's where the UC world will be. Now, there's regulations that are restricting that. There are people that have a lot to lose when we get to this model of just things just work and talk to one another. So in 3 to 5 years, if things continue to move the pace we are, I would say there will be a good chunk of the world that just works within 5 years. Worldwide, I don't see that happening for a very long time, but you know, but not all countries even have copper and PSTN today. So I mean, there's challenges for world communication as it exists. So
well, we got the internet.org thing, and we have the internet in the sky type thing from Facebook.
That's right. So, yeah.
But you know, it is interesting. Maybe my personal perception on where the cloud's going, it is similar to yours in that it's we're losing the brand of Skype for Business or Link, and it's just becoming something that we use. Mm-hmm. And to an end user, they don't really care. What that means for me and you,
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Exactly.
I'm sure you know, Microsoft have got great plans for it.
Oh, I'm sure. It's all in some book of where Brian will be next, but I don't know what it is. But you're right. That everything is changing to the extent of, as on-premise goes away and things become more of a commoditized. It's, you know, how many people do you know that need to go hook up someone's power? Well, it's only a guy that hooks up the power, and then it just works. You flip on the switches internally. As internet's gotten that way, and as the UC gets that way with voice and video, you know, will we be a George Jetson type of solution where TVs and monitors are just throughout houses, and that's how they're built, and modern homes just are tied in? And and when you're using your cell phone, will it actually be voice over IP? A lot of major carriers in the U.S., that's what the backbone is, and so they've already made that step. So it's not hard to say that PSTN in general just kind of dies out. It's got a long way for that to happen, don't get me wrong, and there are a lot of technologies that rely on TDM, so that's not something that's just going to vanquish. But
no,
but things are morphing.
I'd definitely be in a walking stick
yes.
at that point, I think.
I would hope so. I would hope it would be a good 50 to 100 years to go till TDM just disappears. But, you know, think about the floppy disk and how quickly that just disappeared. And now CD-ROMs and DVDs on both computers and even in homes, they just – it's not what you do. Mm-hmm. So who knows, right?
Cool. Probably one last question, really. Sure. I haven't really discussed this with anybody before. The Skype for Business client. So let's take back 12, 18 months ago, where Microsoft said, right, we're changing Link to Skype for Business because it's a whole brand unification, and the whole concept of it was to increase adoption of it because it's a similar interface. But the new UI for Skype for Business has just been released, was it this week or last week, seems to be more Link than Skype.
So from a personal preference, I like the delineation between business and personal. I think as generations younger than I, and I'm not that old, I just want to point that out, I'm not old, but but there's definitely a mix of work life and personal life that is just blended. It is just something that is just life anymore rather than the separation of the two. And so the need to have that I communicate with business one way and I communicate with family another way really is going away. And so the client look eventually, I think, will be what we call consumer today. Will look more consumer-ish, will be more user-friendly from a consumer perspective. And it's a hard road, and I don't know how Microsoft's going to end up, you know, straddling and winning this, but they really need to consider the fact that the generational changes are happening, but there still is a generation that is still business oriented and focused, and home life is focused, and those are two separate things. And as we merge the two, we're getting pushback. So my I guess response to things still looking Link-ish and less Skype-ish is that. So you have generations of you still say to be able to keep that brand positive that when you're working with this and it looks different, it works because we own it versus being something public that's just free.
Cool. No worries. Well, that's all the time we've got for you today. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me. Enjoyed it and hope to do it again soon.
So welcome, Tom. Welcome to the Skype show. How are you today?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, good to be here. I'm working from home today, so it's good to take a little bit of time out to have a coffee and a chat.
Yeah, no problem. So, I mean, I guess we should talk about Teams, right, and Skype and how that sort of fits in now since Microsoft dropped that bombshell last month.
Yeah, that'd be good to talk about. So like, I guess when we first talked about doing this show, it was quite a few months ago. We didn't even know what the topic was just going to be. It's just that whenever me and you have a chat, there's always something to talk about. So we thought it'd make sense to film one. And Teams is very much the topic of the day at the moment. So that's a good place to start, I think.
So I guess the first question really get the elephant out of the room. Is it going to put us out of a job, do you reckon?
Yeah, probably. in all seriousness, it's an interesting question. So Microsoft are presenting it as we now have like a toolbox of options for customers and Teams is just another option. And that kind of question, we've seen a lot of buzz on Twitter and in the community around that. It's like, does Teams replace Skype? Yeah. And I think the answer at the moment is pretty categorically no. That's not speaking to futures, but right now Teams is aimed at a very specific use case. We've been playing with it internally and with a couple of customers, and it's tight groups of people that like to communicate in that sort of fast text-based way. I always default to like, you know, the kind of, you want to say youngsters and devs, but that's totally like ageist and roleist, if that's a word, but it's that Slack type people. So people that like continuous chat or would have used IRC way back in the day.
Yeah.
And like Slack, it's chat is the center of the universe. And then you pull other things in. So you pull audio and video in, you pull OneNote in, you pull project in, you pull file shares in. So it's like chat's the start and then it's outwards. Whereas Skype is very different. Skype for Business is very different in the sense that it's your communications hub to talk to not just your immediate team, but, you know, the rest of the company and the rest of the world with Federation and external meetings and PSTN conferencing and all that good stuff. So there are different use cases for those two tool sets.
Yeah. I guess the biggest challenge for us is to coach the end users and what application they should use to do what communication with, because obviously there's a lot of crossover between Teams and Skype at the minute in terms of like, obviously your core instant messaging platform. You know, do I use Skype? Do I use Teams? Do they interoperate with each other? That sort of thing. So how would we approach that with the customers?
Yeah, and it's not even just Skype for Business and Teams. It's like, where does Yammer fit? Where does Skype Broadcast fit? Like, where does Outlook and email fit? Where does Groups fit? There are a lot of tools in the toolbox.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I'm in love with the Microsoft analogy yet, but it's kind of like this, you know, we have a suite of tools and you have to work out what you need.
Yeah.
And as a, you know, as a working at Modality as a consultancy, that's interesting because it's like we for ages have done lots of what we call kind of user profiling, user adoption, mainly around the Skype stack, saying what tools to use just within Skype. But that conversation is broadening out now to like a lot of people are saying Yammer is over because of Teams. It's like, well, those are two very, very different use cases for me. So Yammer is like this idea that if you have a social network within your company, people that don't physically meet at the water cooler can still have that conversation and things can spark and innovation can happen. And we use Yammer a fair bit internally. Not everybody in the company, that style doesn't suit everybody, but quite a lot. And we have teams in the UK, in the US and in APAC. And that really does spark some interesting conversations that wouldn't have happened if it was like a UK consultancy team or even a global consultancy team, because actually it's someone from legal chipping in, then someone from the management team chipping in, then someone from support chipping in. And that's not what Teams is. and that wouldn't have happened in Skype because the person in, who started that thread wouldn't have gone to legal for an opinion, but because they saw the thread, they chipped in. So for me, we're starting to do more and more work with customers. I was in with one on Monday, like 25,000, and exactly this conversation came up. They're like, our devs are super excited about Teams. They kind of want to sack off Skype for business and use Teams. And this is where it gets a little bit confusing, because Teams does interoperate with Skype for business. So if you're in Teams and you start a one-to-one chat, as it's called in Teams, you can one-to-one chat between a Teams client and a Skype for business client. That's fairly limited today. That is just IM. If you want to do audio and video in Teams, everybody has to be in Teams.
Right.
Okay. So it's honestly a fairly intricate story to take end users through, because it's like, well, I can IM in this thing and I can IM in that thing, but in one scenario I can escalate to audio and video, and in the other I can't.
Yeah, it's almost as if, you know, Microsoft weren't ready to release this product at this time, and it was kind of, I think it's kind of been forced due to the leakage that happened in sort of September, so they've been forced to show their hand sooner, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just embracing this new agile, like, it's never going to be finished, so get it out there and see how people adopt it methodology. Like, Slack didn't not go to market because they didn't do audio and video. They were like, we do this one thing really well, and nobody had a massive go at them because they didn't do PSD and conferencing in Slack, because that wasn't their tool. So Microsoft take quite a lot of heat, some right, some wrong, around like, but you have this other tool that does all these things, and then you've built this second tool and you've only adopted a third of the scenarios. Yeah, which is confusing to end users. Like, if everything did everything, then theoretically you could pick and choose and mix and match. But that's an insane amount of development work on every platform. Like, would we rather Microsoft never release anything because they're waiting for it to be perfect, or throw something out there? And whatever your opinion, at the moment they're in a throw something out there cycle.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been the let's throw the something at the wall and see which sticks first, you know. So that's always been their core way they've gone to market. Even like with Windows, it's always been a half finished product, we'll fix it later and we'll use the rest of the world as a dev and the production the test platform. But
it seems to be the way in the world of software, full stop. And I go back and forth, honestly, depending on the day as to whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. So sometimes I think about it like, if I've got a problem that, you know, I'm a techie, so like something's annoying me about Outlook, I will go and Google for a solution, like a plugin or something, or I want to do something else, so I'll Google the answer. And a number of software teams around the world, different companies, will come up with possible answers, and none of them will be perfect, and I'll pick between them. And Microsoft are kind of taking that same ethos with 365. It's like, yeah, we've got, you know, Planner, and we've got Project, and we've got SharePoint, and we've got OneDrive, and we've got all these things, and we think it's better that you've got options in the stack. By the way, you've already paid for a lot of this stuff. Like, you're not adding, you know, $5 here for Dropbox and $6 here for Trello and $7 here for Slack or whatever the numbers are. Like, they're in the box, and if they're good enough for your use case, get to them, come and talk to us about what could be better, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I mean, when Office 365 was properly released, I mean, the concept was, we've got all these apps in the cloud that you can use, and now sort of Microsoft are looking at it as from a higher level to say, well, they're just containers or basically workloads that we can leverage in different ways. So they're starting to, I feel as though we're starting to lose the definition of the product set. So like SharePoint, Exchange, Skype for Business, I think in the near future, we're going to be stopping talking about those specific workloads and just talking about the end user story.
Definitely, definitely. You can hear it in our language as well. Like, I don't particularly talk about SharePoint or OneDrive, I talk about file storage. Like, yes, that is OneDrive for business on the back end, which is really just SharePoint because that's a rebranding. And the same thing with, you know, other bits and pieces. You talk about the result, not the product. And I think, yeah, Microsoft are encouraging that, and this API access way to get to these workloads will definitely make that, you know, more real.
So I bet Tom Morgan's loving Teams and the dev possibilities right now.
Yeah, it suits devs really well. And it's like, and it's very much, you know, Microsoft's story has always been, we cater for the 80% and then our ecosystem builds the remaining 20 to make it perfect for use case. But that is becoming a more real conversation to execute, not just for like a massive bank who can afford to have a dev team to do the 20%, but for anybody who can use REST APIs and has some reasonable coding ability, like things like the bots in Teams and in Skype. I'm not a dev, but I understand they're very accessible compared to like traditional back-end dev for Skype. So yeah, if you have an internal business process system that throws flags for an event happening, pushing that into Teams is not a huge amount of dev effort.
No, I mean, obviously the core of Teams is Office 365 groups, and we've got multiple connectors that we can hook into different web services to pull data into Teams. So I think that's a good thing. One of the things I was playing with was sucking in tweets from Twitter, for instance, based on the Microsoft Teams hashtag and seeing what I can do with that information in Teams. And one of the cool features would have been to have some kind of Power BI backend to do some reports on that data that's coming in. So is there Power BI coming? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know if Power BI is coming, but I hope it is. I love Power BI at the moment. Like, we use it for some of our kind of analytics and diagnostics solutions. So we pull the Skype data from QE and CDR, put it into a data warehouse, then slice and dice it with Power BI. What's interesting with Power BI is some of the customers we've brought that into, they've adopted Power BI for other things, for looking at their other IT SLAs, for looking at Salesforce data. So we brought it in for a single point solution, but they're like, oh shit, these graphs are really impressive. Wait a minute, we can just connect this to other stuff. So Power BI is a perfect use case. Like, you can imagine having your financials dashboard, like software sales, what's going on, and all the files around the roadmap and the conversation about the dev track all in a team. And that's bringing that level of tooling and visibility to one place is a really interesting idea.
Yeah, it's for sure. In terms of obviously bots is the next big thing. That's what Microsoft is shouting about.
So everybody's saying, yeah.
Yeah, so, but is it any better talking to a machine than talking to a real person, I guess?
I don't know. So I'm quite interested in this. So if you look at like around Asia and WeChat and China and stuff, like bots there have really taken off, and that's what's, I think, pushing the Western companies to go down this route. So in WeChat, you can order your lunch and order Uber and everything in a chat channel on a mobile just by adding a bot at Uber. I want this thing. So they don't go app to app. They stick in one app and they call what they need. And the same thing on, you know, Slack is very much that story as well. Like, more push than pull, but same idea. At home, you know, I have Alexa. I was pretty excited to get that when it came out in the UK. Honestly, it feels like it's early days for that kind of voice recognition.
Yeah. What's your activation word?
It just went off, actually. I'm in the living room and it just said, sorry, I didn't understand. Is the name
doesn't say Skype.
Like, you know, and Google just come out with Google Home. Those are just bots, but voice activated bots. So I think whatever form it takes, and I think it'll be more accessible when it's voice than when it's text, to be honest. Text is good for computer-centric IT people, like I can type quicker than anything else, but in the real world, once you get like a Google Home or an Alexa, and it's actually really, really responsive and really, really good at the analysis, I think that's when bots take off even more.
Yeah.
And obviously, Microsoft have this Cortana thing just waiting in the cloud. They haven't quite put it in a box yet. So, oh, there goes my Alexa. Alexa, stop. This is the problem. No context in these bots.
It happened on the previous call that I had before this.
Did it?
Somebody's Alexa went off. Yeah.
How funny.
So they were on loudspeaker, so I was having some fun.
I use it to control my Hue, and it's pretty reliable for lights on, lights off. But you know, other than that, it's some interesting results. I think some of it might be UK accents and stuff as well. But yeah, I think like Microsoft have interesting building blocks, right? So they've got this. They just announced the Azure Bot Framework. which is kind of a bots run as a service. And again, they're not being the old Microsoft. It's not like this is for Skype. It's like this is for anything. Come and consume Azure. Then they've got the massive power of Cortana, of the machine learning stuff, of the translation stuff, you know, all the stuff that's coming into broadcast around voice translation. Like they have some building blocks, some pretty amazing things potentially.
Yeah, so I mean, bringing it back to Teams for a little bit and the whole Office 365 suite. So we're going to have multiple apps that do similar things. Is that a good thing, or should Microsoft be looking at maybe condensing it down to one or maybe two apps to consume everything in 365?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because you could argue Microsoft should condense it down. They should know the best thing to do and just give you that thing. But then people would complain, you're not giving me options to make my choice to for the right tool for my business, the way my business works. Then they give us a bunch of options, and then we're like, yeah, but you haven't picked for us. Now you're causing us to have to decide, and that's a pain for me. So people argue both sides of the fence. Like, they give you all those tools in 365. You can turn them all on and off, like at a per-tenant or a per-user basis. I don't think that's the right approach. I think a bit more of a see-what-people-adopt approach is sensible. But if you're a business who wants to choose the right tool and you want to have a project team that says, no, we're going to use Groups, no, we're going to use Outlook, no, we're going to use public folders, Teams, whatever it is, you can make that choice and policy that down.
Yeah.
That's not super popular in the modern world, because the people, and we see this on the ground, just whack their credit card out and go and get Dropbox and Slack. So are you doing yourself any favors by trying to be massively dictatorial about which tool set your business uses?
Yeah. I mean, do you personally feel there's a nirvana in the cloud, that there's an end goal that everybody will love, or do you still think it'll be this elastic in, you know, 5-10 years time?
Nirvana is a big word. I think we're in a transition phase, and I think there's a lot of good stuff in cloud, like the innovation, the fact that I don't have to pay a massive project to upgrade my servers every 2 years, that the level of innovation of integration of the apps, which I know is not perfect now, but at least when you have Exchange and Skype and SharePoint in the cloud, things work together because you're on the single platform at the same level all the time. All that stuff is good. You do lose some control, you know, things like Office Click to Run, you're deploying an Office stack, not an app, so you've got to choose which entire build you want to go to. The Exchange team can't push through a patch for their product because the Skype team are blocking a patch because it breaks something. So and same thing for the server side workloads. Like, you're not really in a terrible amount of control about what Microsoft do over the long term. You can defer updates, you can obviously give feedback, but you're part of a bigger system. My feeling at the moment is net the cloud is better. Like, working with so many big customers, I tend to deal with our bigger customers now, it's so hard to get project executed at scale, to get onto the latest version of Skype for Business or Exchange or SharePoint. Like, there is new pain and different pain, but at least if you're in buying into the service, that kind of pushes everybody along a little bit.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, in terms of Teams, as of today, if I've got a Skype for Business server account, that's where I'm registered to, can I still leverage Teams in the cloud?
If you've got Office 365, so you have to have Office 365 and you have to have identity set up, and a license level that enables Teams, so some kind of E-level or business plan, you can just turn it on. It's turned on at the tenant level at the moment, not at the user level, which is an interesting choice. The user level toggle is coming very soon, apparently, but right now it's either on or off, which is a big decision for corporate IT teams, because Teams does give you a new way to communicate, a new compliance and archiving model, a new AV system that doesn't have quads and is in the cloud and needs some thought. So turning it on globally, if you're like 50,000 users plus, is a big deal. But you know, for anybody that wants to have a go, they can turn it on. Pretty soon the per user toggle will come. If your Skype server on premises, you We'll get that integration between Teams and Skype, but it takes a dependency on the latest version of the web APIs, which are not on server yet. So I don't think my cloud account works. We're hybrid. I think everything works. I'm not sure what the official support stance is on the interrupter server. Certainly, the end game is still in preview. It's in preview till Q1. The end game is that the interop experience will be the same for people who host server on premises and have 365 SFPO Cloud PBX.
So do you reckon that on-premises server is going to go away in the near future? Because obviously we're going cloud first, we know that.
I think defining your time frames is hard. Like near future, no. Like I think the cloud is better, but people take a long time to move, and there are still like regional reasons and bandwidth reasons and other bits and pieces, and server still has a different, you know, a different feature set. You know, you can server side record for compliance and finance, you can do ethical walls, you can do third party dev at a very low level on server, and all that stuff is coming to cloud. The APIs are coming, the SDKs are coming, but they're not there yet. Microsoft are very much think the cloud is the future, but they're also about giving you options, and they're not, you know, they're not going to stop a product that makes them loads of money. So
they follow the cash.
Exactly, just from a commercial point of view. But I think if you look at Exchange, like Exchange is pretty much a given you do it in the cloud now, but server's still about. Like there's still use cases for server. And our workload, Skype for Business as a workload, there are way more real reasons in terms of bandwidth and quals and quality of experience to have an MCU on your premises. So if Exchange hasn't gone serverless yet, then there's no way Skype is anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it was interesting. I was talking to someone, I can't remember who it was, but they were at Ignite in a breakout session for Exchange, and the presenter said, hands up who's still using Exchange on premises, and I think it was 3/4 of the room, they said, put the hands up. So that's a kind of a shock to Microsoft. But you think that Exchange would be a simple workload to move to the cloud, but Skype is obviously the most difficult challenge that they've faced.
Exactly. Like, you know, Exchange will go complete cloud before Skype server will. So in terms of worrying about when that will happen, look at Exchange first. That being said, if I was a business, that's what I was thinking. If I was a consultant, and I am, I would be spending a lot of my time looking at the cloud and understanding the cloud, because clearly that's where the new world is. Like there'll be a long tail. There's always a long tail on technology.
Yeah.
But the new stuff, the innovation, the stuff Microsoft want to do is cloud first.
Yeah. So in terms of Teams, obviously we've got the AV workloads that we've got in there and meetings. And it's interesting that Microsoft are dropping the for business when they mention the word Skype in most of their marketing messages now. So we already know that that's Teams is built, the AV in there is built on Skype Consumer. So is that where Skype for Business is going in the cloud now?
Yeah, so I guess strictly speaking, the AV isn't built on Consumer. It's like the Consumer code running in Azure, so it's not the exact same platform as Consumer. But for ages, Microsoft, the media stack team between Skype Consumer and Skype Business have been the same team, so there's always been this ongoing idea to take the best of Skype Consumer and the best of Skype for Business and bring them together. That's not news to anybody, hopefully. But it's interesting that Teams doesn't spin up a meeting on your Skype for Business MCU with PSDN conferencing and the same meeting URL. It's a different choice. Again, I wouldn't necessarily read anything into it in the immediate term. Like Microsoft have options, they picked this option. But it does mean that the features in an AV conference in Teams are different to the features in an AV conference in Skype for Business.
Yeah, I mean, it seems more scalable. I don't know if you're watching Twitter yesterday, but Skype Consumer now does meetings and it can go up to 500, if not more, in terms of online meetings.
Yeah, I think I recently saw an announcement about like anonymous guest joins at AV is now...
Yeah, like, you don't need an account and stuff.
Yeah, you can just jump in, like it's like, click, I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a whole ton of interesting compliance and conversations around that piece, but in terms of as an ability... That's fascinating, isn't it? Like from zero to meeting, like
in seconds.
Yeah, and this is where I think Microsoft having a consumer service and an enterprise service really works, because you don't have the enterprise worry on the consumer side, so you can push and push and push the technology boundaries on the consumer side and adopt the best into enterprise.
It's like Red Bull and Toro Rosso in F1, right? So the smaller team is used to try things, and the larger team uses the best technology, right? So
yeah, like a similar thing, yeah.
Yeah, but it's from my perspective, if we're using the same AV code as such for teams, and that's the way that we're going, and we're using a different core, for instance, but Skype consumer doing lifting the barrier on 250 hard coded, it's not a hard limit, but 250 supported people in a Skype for Business conference. If we now move to a Skype meeting, does that? My question is sort of, is there, are they?
Are we going to get it next? Are we going to get it next week on Skype for Business?
No. My question is more around broadcast meetings. So will that sort of start, eating into that market?
Yeah, that's a good question. So broadcast, like you play with broadcast, so I know you know.
Yeah.
This, but it's a very different beast again, and this is where it's interesting. You know, like people misunderstand Skype broadcast all the time. They think it's a bigger Skype for Business meeting when actually. The mechanics of that are, yes, you join on the Skype client, which is super cool for the presenters because they get this familiar experience, but actually it's going off to a different MCU and a content delivery network and going all around the world. And it has, you know, like a couple of minutes lag on it because of the buffering and the CDN and stuff. So it's very much your like quarterly results at a big bank where you're talking to the internal staff, and it's like a division is like 20,000 people or something, like just way beyond what you would do on Skype. Like you don't want people necessarily unmuting and chipping in, you don't you want to control the experience. We do all the time, it's probably an exaggeration, we do get requests from enterprise customers where they just want to dip over that 250, like our team's 300, our team's 400. Yeah. And there's this new, I'm not sure how new it is, there's this methodology called Team of Teams, where it's all about getting lots of people together once a week to discuss things. And those can be quite big calls. We have some customers that, you know, have pretty well-specced Enterprise Edition 3FE pools. Actually, they put in enterprise for resilience, not for load, and they tick their conferencing policy up to the 300, the 400. Obviously, that's a service discussion. It's beyond the recommendation, but that stuff works. Like, if you don't need 1,000, you can do it on the existing pool. So it's really it's really horses for courses, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the server one, it's sort of a recommended soft limit, and it won't actually stop you joining over that number, but. Is I think Microsoft stop you in Skype for Business Online, don't they? I think they've got a count
they, on there. They do, yeah. It's a policy. So on server, you can change the policy because you have all the power. You are given the power to shoot yourself in the foot, which is a good thing and a bad thing. In online, it's a hard-coded. So in online, once you're over that 250, you're on to something else like broadcast. I find it hard to think that once you get much over 100, you're really having a collaborative meeting. Like we do all hands on Skype where we get up there and people throw things into the IM chat. But beyond like 150, that just becomes overwhelming. And you lose, like if you go too high on Skype, you lose the roster, you lose the ability to control mutes. So do you just mute all, at which point, why are you having, you're not really having a collaborative meeting because you muted all. So I think, full circle to the start of our conversation, it's about usage profiling, and there's an absolute opportunity for businesses and for consultancies to work with customers and say, here's your array of options. Like, don't panic. There's a lot of options here.
Yeah.
Let's put this to one side for a second. Talk about your business and where we see some wins. Like, let's just win by deploying Teams to the dev team or Yammer to the business or using a broadcast for a quarterly all hands. Like don't try and take it all on because you just come in this like analysis paralysis kind of thing, but just try and pick some wins out and then, you know, kind of adjust and win, adjust and win, adjust and win, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's good insight. It's definitely moving forward to less of a siloed siloed workload and more into like just consume it anywhere in any which way that you want. So that's a really good message for the end users, for us as technical people. Our roles are going to change more towards that role of transforming that and handholding that customer through that journey.
Yeah, I think they really are, and I think, you know, like we have this conversation a lot in the community, and I'm fairly unforgiving about that. Like you chose to work in technology, you can't then cry when technology changes. Like, you chose the horse, you've got to ride it now, or get off, do something else. Like just because it's not changing in the way you want it to, the market is the market. Like I miss grepping SIP traces as much as the next guy. Like you know, a few years ago, like, you know, link masters and everything like that, that stuff is super interesting to me. But the reality is, like, you still need that, and the long tail, the big customers, the server, that doesn't go away. But we're starting to take our skill levels up to a different kind of business level, where it's like, now I need to understand the options and talk to you about them and help you achieve with them, not deploy the perfect Skype server.
Yeah. I mean, talking about the MCM, it was Ari Prothero dropped a bomb on Twitter when he was at Ignite saying that MCM might be coming back. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, no, I've not heard anything. I would love some kind of depth level techie certification to come back. Like, for me, not just for the sake of having a certification, but it gives people like a goal to spend those evenings and weekends studying and labbing. I think if something like that did come back, it would be probably more cloud focused, and therefore
it'd probably be broader as well, wouldn't it? It'd probably be like MCM in Office 365, for instance.
Which is almost, if you think about that as a concept, the moving target that is Office 365. Like, how do you build a massive lab test assessment around 365 that has any kind of lifespan? So just like, unfortunately, MCM used to be run by the product teams, which is amazing because it didn't kind of have to turn a profit in its own right. So it was just like a pure, this is good for the whole environment, because if we have great people in field and in partners, everything will sell better, life will be good. It moved to learning, to Microsoft Learning, at which point it kind of has to turn a profit, like not necessarily literally, but it has to be a, you know, a viable thing to do. And it sort of isn't. Like, it's very expensive to run that kind of program, and there's no obvious return other than you've got great people in field. So in the 365 space, I think we're just going to see the people that are on top of it, naturally rising. You know, the people that know identity inside out now are kind of the new, you know, big guns, because actually that's one of the things that's vitally important. And then a lot of the exchange consultants I've seen have flipped
into
towards
that space.
Identity, because they're like, shit, we need to get into cloud, and this is the next big technical problem that nobody really understands. So I think you're right as well. Like, I think it gets breadth more than depth. Like, I can have shallow conversations about every workload in 365, and I'm depth on Skype for Business, but I need to be able to have the conversation about identity and Exchange and SharePoint and broadcast and Teams, at least to a level, to be informed about the right things to do for Skype for Business. And it's the same for other workloads. You need to know a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, identity for sure, but in the past with traditional on-premises server, the assumption was, well, I've got AD, I've got GPO, my identity secure. I don't break out of that network for anything. I don't offer any external services. But now it's going into a public domain. It's becoming the most important subject to talk to about customers.
Yeah, definitely. And the way that, you know, the Azure AD allows that kind of federated identity. So, you know, the thing, again, we saw it first in the consumer space, like I can sign into third-party websites with Twitter and Google. Like, that ability in enterprise is huge. Like, the ability, okay, we're going to go with Slack, we're going to go with Dropbox, and we're going to go with Salesforce. Mm-hmm. But if someone changes roles or leaves under a cloud or whatever, I can't manage 4 accounts and shut them all down and know my data's not going to leak. So making Microsoft the identity owner of choice and spreading it out to third parties, I think is super powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I have had a look at sort of the identity piece on EMS and what you can do there. And they're not just talking about B2B authentication, so like your Microsoft to Salesforce authentication, but also B2C. So you can have your Twitter account and your marketing Twitter account, you can have your marketing Facebook account, LinkedIn, and what have you, stored in Azure AD or a segment of it, and then you link your business accounts to consume that. So
yeah, that's a really, really good use case, because like actually kind of Twitter and Facebook, like one like annoyed employee on the way out can do a lot of brand damage if they have access to that. So you know, making sure that's locked down but still usable by the business is a really good use case.
Yeah, no worries. Right, well, we're out of time for this episode, so it's been good to chat.
Yeah, I think we've gone kind of a bit around the houses, but hopefully there were some interesting nuggets in there. It'd be interesting to hear from people watching the show what they think on these things. You know, hit us on Twitter and the blogs and stuff, and where do you think things are going? What do you think of teams? That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, so just for people who don't know who you are, what's your blog and Twitter handle?
I'm sure they'll be in show notes somewhere, but tomtalks.uk is my blog, and it's at Tom Arbuthnot on Twitter. If you just do tom.qa/Twitter as well, I've got a short link to find it, because who knows how to spell Arbuthnot? It's on the screen for you guys, actually, so we're sorted. I spend a lot of time blogging, a lot of time in the community, London user group, that kind of thing. Just love talking to people about this stuff, so hit me up.
You're off to Unity Connect, aren't you, later?
I am. I'm literally about, as soon as we finish talking, pretty much, I'm getting in the car, going through an airport.